right, Exodus chapter number 6, and we're going to pick back up with this here. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." I just thought of this when I read that. I'd hate to be in Pharaoh's shoes there. You imagine the Lord telling somebody, "You're going to see what I'm going to do to that guy." I don't want to be there. I want to be. You've heard people, and I've said it before, not knowing really what I said. I say, "Well, Lord's on my side." It don't work like that. No. We're supposed to be on the Lord's side,
right,
because His side's the right side.
That's right.
He never leaves. We're the one that leaves.
That's right.
Now, I'll tell you, that's a scary thing. Pharaoh don't know what he's in for. And you're going to see these plagues. You watch how the Lord starts off with lice. He starts off small, and which we may not get into it tonight. He'll start off small, and he'll go way up from the hail coming from heavens. And then he'll start off small with what he's dealing with, and he's showing you how he deals with things, even though in this plague, practical application. You know what the Lord does whenever he gets on to you? He'll start off small, pointing, "Hey, I'm telling you. I'm warning you." That's how he does with all of us. And he's showing you. And you know what? Before long, it escalates and escalates, and then he lowers the boom.
Amen.
Even with Pharaoh, he started off with something small, and then before long he said, "Okay, now you think you're bad. We're going to let you know who's sure enough tough. And brother, we can't handle it." It says, "For with a strong hand shall he let them go." You better believe a strong hand. There's no the hand that created hands. That's a strong hand. You know, these people, we get to thinking we're real strong. I know a guy who can deadlift almost 900 pounds. Do you realize that's not even the size of a good tree? And the Lord can take His hand through a hurricane and just rake across the land and just completely destroy a whole land. And a man thinks he's strong enough to stand against God with a strong hand. And you know that same hand that can do that right there will reach down. If you'll just take His hand, He'll reach down and He'll be gentle with you. And He'll say, "Hey, my hand is stretched out." And He'll reach down there and pick you up. All you got to do is just put your hand. But I'll tell you something. That same hand can be to you for good, or that same hand can be to you for bad. And it's Pharaoh's fault and not God's fault that he's going to get the bad side of the hand. Alright, "Shall he drive them out of his land?" Now watch this. "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord." I am the Lord. You see that "I am"? When the Lord Jesus comes, as He says, "I am the bread of life. I am," and He says, "I am," and "I am." He gives you seven "I am." You know what He's saying? I'm the God of the Old Testament. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now here's a good verse for a Jehovah's Witness. Verse 3, "And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob." Three. God will do things in three. Why? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. "By the name of God Almighty." See, God Almighty. "But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." I've showed them that verse right there before. "Oh, you Jehovah's Witness, well, I serve God Almighty." What? What are you talking about? This verse right here said that he wasn't even known. He was still God. God Almighty. You show them that. Look here, another thing too. "I am the Lord, God the Father." Here's one. God Almighty. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is called in Revelation? Almighty God. Alright? And then you got Jehovah. Three and one and three, and the one in the middle died for me.
Amen.
It's one God manifested in three persons. We call it the Trinity, but the Bible calls it the Godhead. And the Godhead is mentioned three times alone in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, and Acts chapter 17. Only three times. You can't beat that Bible. You're not going to be. God does things in threes oftentimes and sevens. We'll see that. Verse 4, "And I have also established my covenant with them." Thank the Lord, He keeps His word. "To give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant." So here the Lord is. He let them be in that bondage for all those hundreds of years. And you know what? He said, "Well, I heard them now." You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people, they wonder why that God don't hear their prayers. You know, a lot of times we just go through the motions on our prayers. But I tell you what, you get in bondage on something, you say, Lord, I need you to help me. I'm strapped down. And you know what, oftentimes we get that heartfelt prayer, and we get to the place where we say, God, we needed Him the whole time. But I tell you what, bondage oftentimes will cause you to pray. And God heard them. Watch this. He says this. I love this. Verse 6. Now 6, 7, and 8 in 3 verses, He's going to tell them 7 I wills. 7 I will. God's sevens of things oftentimes in the Bible. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord and I will, number one. And you know what? This is good devotional stuff for us today. I know He's talking to Israel, but watch this. What do you do? I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You know what the Lord did for me? He got me out from under the burden of all these people serving the world. All the Egyptians. You know what He does? He gives you the power. When you got the Holy Spirit, you got the power to say no to sin, and you don't have to go with all the other Egyptians anymore. You've got the power on the inside of you to go the other way. Man, ain't that a blessing? Man, we wonder what's going on over here, and all this chaos is going on and stuff, and that news will drive you crazy. You say, what's going on? I tell you what's going on, a heart problem. There's a heart problem. Y'all, you know what's going on? The Egyptian, the way of the world, they're just in that bondage of that sin. And you know what can rid that heart of that bondage? Getting with the Lord. And the Lord said, I will, right here. He said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. Watch this, number 2. Second, I will. And I will rid you out of their bondage. Now, He'll get you out from under their bondage, and He'll completely get rid of it. I tell you what, one of these days, devotionally speaking, but for us, I'm going to completely get rid of it. Why? I'm going to be out of this world.
Amen.
You think my mindset's out, and I'll tell you something, I realize the closer you get to the Lord, I know those of y'all who are growing with the Lord, you get more unworldly up here.
Amen.
Because you realize this world's not your home and people don't like you. It's not that they don't like you, they don't like the Jesus on the inside of it. I used to struggle with that thing. I was thinking, what's going on? I thought that was my buddy, I thought that was my friend. What's happening is, they don't like the way that you're going as far as with the world. They like you, good old Chase, back school, you know. But I tell you something, you get close to the Lord and close to the Lord, and the Lord has rid you of that bondage, and He's got you, and you don't have to go that same way and that same mentality, and you're not worried about what everybody else thinks about you anymore. And guess what happened? They don't like that.
Amen.
And one of these days, I'm going to completely be in another world over there. I'm going to let them have this thing. I'm telling you, man. You said, Brother Chase, and I know to y'all it don't sound crazy, but you talk to some of these people out here at some of these places I go to and stuff, and they think I'm having a bad day. I'll be somewhere, and I'll be putting that mail up. You know, a lot of times we got boxes, and sometimes it'll be 30 or 40. I might be over there, and they over there waiting, you know, on the mail. You know, and I'm putting it up, and they say, how's your day going today? I said, man, one day closer to being with the Lord. You must not like this job. And I had one lady call in on me. She said, that guy that pulls that route over there, I don't think he likes his job. And one of my friends, Miss Jeanette, she just loved me to death. And she said, I don't think you're right about that. Now, he ain't complaining about his job. She said, well, every time I see him, every time I see him up there, he's always talking about he'd rather be somewhere else. And I'm talking about going to heaven. I'm not talking about another job. I'm talking about being with the Lord and stuff, you know. But people just take it the wrong way. I'm going to be completely rid of that. Watch this right here. It says also, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. You better believe, hey, for me, He's going to do that for He's going to get them out of there. But you know what He's done for me? We sing redeemed, redeemed. You know what He's done for us? I can look at that and say, hey, I'm redeemed, man. You know what I don't have to worry about? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't have any condemnation. Now my flesh may have all kind of things going on with it, because your flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you can reap of the flesh, but my soul is not going to reap it.
Right.
So guess what? I'm out of that. He said, I will, I will, I will. Watch this. And I will take you to me for a people. You know what? Israel's God's people, but you know what? For me, I become a son of God whenever I trust Jesus Christ. And guess what? You're a child of God now. Why? Galatians chapter 3 teaches you that once you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have faith in what He done for you on the cross, you become a child of God.
Amen.
Right then. Right then.
That's right.
And brother, I'm His and He's mine. Look at this other one right here. And I will be to you a God. He's my God. My God. Now, I'll tell you something. You're talking about a good God. He is too.
Amen.
Blesses us every single day. Loads us down. We just can't. Y'all, we don't know. We don't know how good we've got it right now. I'm telling you. We really don't. But why? Because you listen to some of the others. And I'm not trying to make you nose or nothing like that. But I hear some other stuff that's going on. Y'all, any little problem we got's a baby problem.
Amen.
Compared to what's going on, man, my. And I'll tell you something. If you'll follow the Lord, that road, yeah, people will spit on you and kick on you down through there. But when you're in fellowship with the Lord, none of that stuff matters.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a joy that's associated with Him being your God and having that promise of, and I trust what He's going to do, and He'll bring you out of stuff that the world can't offer you.
Yeah.
God can offer you things this world just can't offer you. Look at this. It says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Look, I don't have no maybe so. Paul said we're always confident knowing. Y'all, and I know I've talked to you about this before, but don't ever let nobody, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, don't ever let anybody cause you to doubt that. Now, yeah, I can doubt my fellowship, brother. I can tell you something. We can get in and out of fellowship, but once you've trusted Christ, you keep that knowing there. He said they're going to know. They're going to know it. And I'll tell you something. They do know it as well. He's showing them. Hey, I tell you what. There'll be things going on in Egypt, and He's protecting them over there in Goshen. We're going to study that, man. You're talking about a blessing. Talking about a blessing. You know how God can protect you. He's so accurate. They'll be in battle later on in later books. We'll get over here whenever they're battling. And hailstones can be coming out of the sky and hit the bad guy and not hit the good guy. Well, you know what? That's pinpoint accuracy right there. What are you talking about? Because whenever they're fighting, they're not up here saying, now we got to make sure we dodge this when they're fighting with their sword. They're just fighting down through there, and the Lord's able to pinpoint accuracy. He's able to separate.
Amen.
He's a God of division. He's a segregationist. Hey, I'll tell you something. Brother, the Lord has got discernment, and the Lord is discriminatory. You know what He does? He discriminates between light and dark. He discriminates between good and evil. He discriminates between God and the devil. Why? Because that's just to tell a difference between. And He's fixing to tell a difference between. We've got to get to the place to where with all this political correctness, you've got to get to the place to where you're able to tell a green light from a red light. You're able to tell good from bad. And you know what? The only way is going by the standard of the Bible.
That's right.
And the standard here. It says, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Each time, see that burden what the world does. And I will, here it is, the sixth one, bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. There's the last two. That's seven right there. But you know what? A lot of that stuff happened, but a lot of it hadn't happened yet. He brought them over there, but later on, we'll read in the book of Joshua where they didn't drive out their enemies, but you know what? That's going to come later on. You know what God promised us? We're promised a new body, and we're promised new Jerusalem. You know what? Those are promises, but they hadn't happened yet, but they will happen.
Amen.
And if God was good on His Word to get the first one to pass, He's good on His Word to get the other one to pass. Sometimes it just takes longer. You know what we have? We've got to realize that sometimes some of the things we want so bad to happen, it may just take a little while.
That's right.
Why? Because, man, everything, we got everything right now. Look, what if you got every one of your prayers answered, you knew all your Bible, you think you'd stay real close to the Lord, you think you'd stay in prayer? I wish I could tell you how's that, but no, I wouldn't. Why? I'd just sit back and say, well, there's nothing, need no further. But you know what we got to do? Keep going for the Lord, and wait on the Lord, and wait on the Lord. Now, I want to show you some of these things here. I just missed every bit of that. But never mind. We'll just move on ahead here. All right. It said in verse 9, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for, watch this, anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now, that verse, you better visit that verse all the time. Moses just told them from the Lord, and the Lord gave them seven my wills. You know what the Lord does? He'll seven a thing. In Daniel 70th week, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, He gives them 70 weeks are determined upon that. That's seven. Alright? And He gives them seven things that's going to happen. Alright? Now this is what the Lord does, contrasting with between the Lord and the devil. He'll promise, Luke chapter 1, you don't have to turn in there, but 31 through 33, another three verses, He gives them seven things He's going to do. Part of it was fulfilled literally, and the other part hadn't happened yet, just like some of these things here. God does things in seven. The devil does things in fives. The devil said, I will, I will, I will, I will five times, and he's going to get knocked down five times. Alright, so I said all that to say this. Knowing these things, you and I are able to look at this thing and say, I know God keeps His promises. I know He does, and we get confident knowing we can read all this stuff, but guess what? This stuff hadn't happened yet. They hadn't got out yet. They hadn't got the confidence that we're able to get from reading that book and knowing all that stuff has happened. And you know what happened? They have been in bondage for hundreds of years by this time. Been in bondage. So guess what? They didn't believe it. They didn't believe Moses. And here's Moses, and he's saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. Now, you know what you got to realize? Don't think it's towards you when you tell somebody, hey, God's able to get you out of that bondage. God's able to save you. God's able to get you out. I know right now you think you're right and everybody else is wrong, but I'm telling you something. This is what the Bible said. And you know what happened? You know what happens? Bondage creates bitterness. That's why you got to be real careful, and we have to be careful as a group. And whenever we're talking to somebody, and some people are in bondage to pain. Look, I tell you something, man. You let your neck hurt real bad like that for several days and things like that, and see if it don't make you cranky. Sometimes we're in bondage to pain in the body, and I tell you something. Those of us that have pain, it's something about that pain, especially when you've been in the bondage to it a little while. You just get to where you're just in a cranky mood. It's not that you want to be; it's just that that's what it does. And y'all, I tell you something. If we don't keep that in mind right there, we'll look. Moses told them, man, that's some good stuff right there I just told you about. I think it's good stuff. Well, they didn't think it was too good. Why? They've been in bondage so long, they're just bitter. Now, you know what we have to do? If we're in bondage to things, you know what to do? Make us bitter. And we'll say, they're not doing what we're doing. We've got to... Okay, then. Well, just don't do it then. Look, we've got to remember now, God can get something done. Let me tell you this right here. We not going to force people to do anything. Why? Because if you put them in bondage to it, you see what's going to anguish, and they're not going to be wanting to be there, and they're going to have a bad testimony while they're doing it. You know what? You let folks say, look, this is what needs to be done, that's what needs to be done. All of us have all got eyes. We see there's things being done around here, and you know what happens? Okay, well, just do it then. There's plenty to do, y'all. But the thing is, if you get over here and you're not doing what I'm doing, you know what happens? We'll get ourselves in the bitterness, man.
That's right.
And then before long, anguish of spirit. And then before long, we're biting each other's head off. And before long, biting and devouring one another. And before long, like I told you, we become Christian cannibals.
Yeah.
You know what we have to do? We have to say, like Moses gives them the word. And you know what? Sometimes you have to let them get out of bondage here, there, and yonder. And I tell you this too, a lot of people just have to do one thing at a time and just see what a blessing it is just to be able to help to somebody. I tell you this, and I've got two or three stories built up now, but one of my favorite ones was the lady who could cook, and she was depressed, and she started going to these houses, and I tell you something, man, not to say that's the cure for depression, everybody. I know some people have things that only, because I'm not a doctor, but I tell you this, a lot of people are depressed for the wrong reason. I know folks I went to school with, they got a face along just like that. Why? Because they don't help anybody. All they study is their self. And if they're not talking about their self, they're not happy. You know why they're depressed? It's because they're so wrapped up in their self. I'll tell you something. You start helping other people. And like I said, I'm not a doctor. But I've seen it work enough that I know oftentimes that's the problem. You know what? A lot of times, so much of this stuff going on, and I'm telling you from personal experience, from people I went to school with. I know a lot of them are so doped up. They go to the doctor and they just get a prescription for anything. Well, my back's hurt. Well, we just give you a prescription for that. Well, my left toe's hurt and I stomped my toe. Okay, well, let me give you a whole big old bottle to help that. You know what's going on? Well, a whole bunch of people's on dope is what it is. We got a nation full of dope heads. And I'm telling you, that is just as true. And you know what happened? They're in bondage to that. And you know what happens? That bondage creates a bitterness, and that bitterness creates anguish of spirit. I looked up anguish of spirit and our anguish in my Webster's dictionary, and it's extreme pain, body or mind. You know, a lot of people, they don't have bodily pain, they got mental pain. And you know what? We need to pray for them. Why? Because, man, that stuff right there, sometimes the mental stuff's worse than the physical stuff. Sometimes the physical stuff, you can take an ibuprofen or something like that and help it. But the mental stuff, that mental scar right there, and only God can get in there and work on that thing, and y'all, it creates anguish. But this world's trying to cover it up with dope, and you can't cover it up with dope. You've got to get the Lord Jesus Christ, what, to come in and set the captives free. Some people are in bondage to lust. Some people are in bondage to selfishness. Some people are in bondage to envy, strife, division, and railings, and all these things. Why? Because they're so festered up with something. And only God can get you out of that. And I tell you, you know what it'll do? Even though you get a promise from God, a lot of times, now. I know you said that's good stuff, but now, and you know what it'll do? It'll make you despise preaching and everything else.
That's right.
Because then what happens, you sit there in the pew and you say, I know it worked for so-and-so, not going to work for me. And then you get there before too long, and man, you instead of liking the preaching and liking the fellowship with other believers, you get around, and I've seen it before. So another believer comes around, hey man, I had an answer prayer.
Right.
Y'all seen that? Y'all, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they just get to a place. Y'all, only the Lord can break that bondage.
Right.
And watch what happens here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am of uncircumcised lips? What he's saying is, they didn't hear me. Moses, you see how we feed on one another? That's why, y'all, you get a preacher in here, help the man out. We got a preacher coming in here, man, help him out. We got to prepare our hearts for the message. So you, why? Because if y'all, you don't know I tell you something, you preach in some places, and man, you'll have that outline out. Man, it's like that outline's on fire spiritually, and you just can't wait to preach. And you get up there preaching, nah. Yeah.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Yeah, and what happens is, I know some of you, but I'm just telling you, when the people don't want to hear the message, it just puts this like, well, nobody else going to listen. They didn't listen. Pharaoh's not going to listen.
Right.
Well, you know what happens? We feed off of one another. It's like that old saying, kindness gives birth to kindness. Courage gives birth to courage, and cowardice gives birth to cowardice. You know what happened over there? All those spies went in, and Caleb and Joshua, Caleb said, man, they're bred for us. You know what he's saying? They're bred. We'll get stronger whipping them. We'll feed off of them. They're bred for us. Man, they're toast. They're toast. They're breathful. But you know what? Everybody else, no. They're too big. They're just too big to hit. Now, Caleb's saying, they're too big to hit. They're too big to miss, man. Look at that target you've got right there. He was looking from God's standpoint. They were small. But if you're looking from man's standpoint, I can't do that. You're just like a little grasshopper. They say we're in their sight as grasshoppers. You know what you got to realize?
That's
you're
right.
Serving God Almighty, and if you look at it from God's standpoint, it'll
That's
change
right.
the whole perspective. From God's standpoint, the mountains are small. He can take His finger and just press that mountain down. He can make the mountain a valley. He can make the mountain a valley. We got to realize who we're serving here. What Moses said. Well, man, I've got uncircumcised lips. You know what that means? That's the flesh hadn't been cut away. You know what? If you're going to speak to somebody, you know what we got to do? Get the flesh out of the way. Lord, hide me behind the cross. If you're going to get anything out and you're going to be prepared to speak to somebody, you got to say the flesh has got to get out of the way. Otherwise, why uncircumcised lips? What's that? What out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. His lips weren't right because his heart wasn't right. You get your heart right, your lips will be right.
That's right, brother.
The problem is, you know how we analyze? All I got to do is analyze. When I get to listen to stuff coming out of my heart, and somebody, hey, old so-and-so said a bad word. Where did it come from? You got it down in there in order for it to come out. You couldn't have said the bad word. You couldn't have said what you all that stuff that you said had it not been down in there. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. You put junk in the well, junk comes up in the bucket when you pull it up. Yeah, I tell you, that has stuck with me. I watched a movie one time, and I forget what it was. I think it was a Western. And man, this old boy put that whale down there in that bucket, and snakes come up out of that bucket. Scared me to death. I said, snakes? And I don't know what was going on. Whatever it was scared me to death. I don't know if they know, but I'm telling you something. That stuck in my mind. I said, well, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. We better put some good stuff down in the well. I don't want no snakes coming up.
Right.
All right. Uncircumcised lips. He's got to get right with the Lord before you get that message out. Look at this. It says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of the land. So right here, Moses and Aaron's working together. Why? You got a prophet and you got a priest. Moses is the prophet, Aaron is the priest, and it takes a prophet and a priest to bring them out of Egypt. Guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ came like a prophet. He prophesied all kinds of stuff. You better believe he's a prophet. But the Lord's a prophet, priest, and a king. He was a prophet when he came. He's a priest now. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Prophet, priest. All right, guess what? When he comes back, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
You got to realize, as far as doctrinally, we say, well, he's on the throne. Let me tell you this right here. God is in control, but right now he's allowing the devil to run the system of this world. When he comes back, my friends, everything's going to run smooth and smooth. Slick and smooth, right, and everything. It's going to be holy to the Lord. Why? Because he's going to be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to be saying, that's not right. Take them. And guess what? Whenever he comes up through there, y'all, you read Isaiah 34, fire is going to come out. Look, there's nothing else like that Bible. Fire is going to come out of his mouth, and he's going to set that lake, he's going to set it on fire in Edom, and he's going to have a lake of fire on the earth in the millennium. And guess what? If they don't do right in the millennium, he's going to chunk them in the fire. Angels, chunk them in. Well, thank God that we're not it. Thank God I'm saved right now. Why? Because you wait and you get in that dispensation. Those folks right there better toe the line, brother.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, he's going to rule and reign, the Bible says, with a rod of iron, Revelation 19.
Amen.
And I tell you something, that's what it takes to deliver. And he's showing you a picture right here. A prophet and a priest. And it says, verse 14, he's giving you a recap. So I'm going to read some of these names. It says, these be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu. So if I pronounce any of these wrong, Shiloh, you let me know. Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and I didn't pronounce that right, Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. Now look, there's reasons why he sticks that in there. You say, Brother Chase, what's it? I guarantee you if you studied it out, you could figure it out. There's a reason why he just all of a sudden said the son of a Canaanitish woman. Now, right now, off the top of my head, I don't know. But you know what? You get to run in a reference. You would find there's no telling what kind of sermons and little stuff. Don't ever pass over those names. There's blessings in that thing. He's got that in there for a reason. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi. See, there's the Levite priest. According to their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. Yeah, I got that. And the years of the life of Levi were 130 and 7 years. You imagine living 137 years? Well, let me tell you something. That's nothing compared to 930 years. And 930 years is nothing compared to how long you're going to live. You're sitting there saved right now. You know what? You're just going to kick off that little hole you've got on. You're going to put on something brand new. And brother, you're just going to keep going and going and going and going. 937 years is a catnap, man, compared to how long you're going to live. I get to thinking about 137 years. I think 137 years. But brother, that's nothing compared to eternity. Y'all, we just getting this thing warmed up. We just get, and I get to reading them years like it, stuff like that just sticks out to me. I think, my, we're one day closer to seeing it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you,
right.
Y'all, when you see it, it's going to be like a dream. You're going to be so excited. You literally, you're going to say the preachers didn't, they just didn't preach the half of it. Brother Chase can try and try and try, but the day your eyes are going to be like basketballs. You're going to be looking and think, I just can't believe it. You imagine just being under the Lord said, hey, go over there, I want you to tell Paul something for me. Hey, go over there, I want you to tell... Man, I just get excited thinking about it. 137 years, the sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shammah, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron. And see, these names have come out later on as you read the Bible too. Uzziel, and the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years, and the sons of Merari, Mahali, and Mushi. Oh, Mushi. I'm glad my name isn't Mushi. It says, these are the families of Levi according to their generation. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years, he's recapping, and the years of the life of Amram were 137 years, and the sons of Izhar, Kohar, and Nepheg, and that's a rough name, and Zichri, and the sons of Uzziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. Man, I'm telling you, it's humbling just reading this stuff. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Naashon to wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, and the sons of Korah. Is that right? That's the one that rebelled later on. All right, Asher and Elkanah and Abiasaph. Abiasaph. There, see, a man by wife helps me out. All right, and it said we got to get through this together. Every word of God. It says, these are the families of Korites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Phutiel the wife, to wife. And she bare him Phinehas. Now later on, y'all remember what Phinehas does whenever he comes in that temple and he kills them folks. And the Lord just glad he done it. Why? Because he said, I'm sick of this stuff going on, and those people were committing those lewd acts right there in the service, and Phinehas come in and just took that javelin and killed them. And man, he was a bad dude. Alright, and we're reading about the start of these things. It says, Phinehas, these are the heads of the fathers of Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Now hold on a minute. Armies? Why is he saying armies here? Guess what? No longer a nation. They're no longer tribes. They're becoming a nation. You know what that implies? They get weapons somewhere. And I tell you something else too. The Egyptians gave them all kind of stuff when they left out. But I'll tell you this too. You and God, you mark that down in the margin of your Bible, are always a majority. If you, long as you're on God's side, it don't matter how many armies you've got against you. If God wanted you to survive, brother and sister, I'm telling you right now, right. God can let you fight anywhere. You can fight a spiritual battle. You realize there's spiritual powers. The Bible said, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you're fighting against. You've got all kind of armies around you. But God takes care of you every day.
Yeah.
Do you realize if the devil had his way, he would just take all your animals, take your house, your land, your family, everything, if he could get permission to do it. And it's God's protective hand.
That's
these
right.
People talk about the hand of God. I tell you something, man, for the Christian, the hand of God's the safest place you ever want to be. Lord, just have your hand. I pray when I pray for you, Lord, have your hand on them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Protect them, Lord.
Yeah.
Why? Because these armies here, you're an army, a mighty, mighty army with the Lord, spiritual army with the Lord. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. Egypt, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? The Lord will recap something, because this whole thing is so important. This thing is going to be mentioned throughout all the Bible. And he recaps and makes sure you know what he's talking about and who he's talking about and where they're coming from. Now, we got a few minutes here. I want to start chapter 7 because we're going to really get into some stuff next week. Verse 1 in chapter 7, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." You know what? They worship so many false gods over there. You got to realize something. He didn't know anything. And Moses is going to come in with real signs and wonders. Now, why? Because you're looking at, dealing with a people that's got such a hard heart. And they had all those gods. You ever studying those Egyptian gods? Man, I tell you something. And he's going to whip every one of them through these plagues. He's going to show you he has power over every single thing, small and great. He's going to start with animals and go all the way up to the sun and everything else, because he's going to show them who the real God is. Now, you got to realize that paganism is all over the place. Paganism is all over the place. We a lot of times we stay right here with this mentality right here, and you think everybody, y'all, people worship some of the strangest stuff you've ever seen. We had one lady, she said she was a witch. And man, she shaved one side of her head and had the other side pink like this, right? And she had that thing come, and man, you just couldn't hardly, you know, when she come in, I tried to make out like I, because I didn't even want to deal with it. But you know what? And she'd be listening to that chant and all this stuff, and she thought our God, she'd be listening to some kind of chant. And she'd be in there, you know, and I thought to myself, you're going to get struck. And you know what you got to realize? We're living in a post-Christian nation. Y'all, there's a bunch of pagans around. Y'all, I've been to people's houses and they had a Buddha sitting over there.
That's right.
on the counter here. We're dealing with people, and he said, "Hey, you're going to be a god to Pharaoh." Why? Because Pharaoh, he's not going to know what to think. And you know what? That's all. A lot of times, all people, God has to get their attention. God knows how to get your attention. I can tell you something. God has got your number, and a lot of people think that they're just untouchable. God can get your attention, brother, and he's about to get Pharaoh's attention. He's gonna show Pharaoh thinks he's got some God. Okay, I'll show you one. And you know what that shows you too? To the lost world, a man can be a little g god to them. You know what this old world's wanting? Egypt's a type of the world. They're wanting a man that can do signs and wonders.
That's right.
They're infatuated with signs and wonders. You know, evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. People are infatuated with what they can see. And I'll tell you something, it's coming. It's coming. What all this stuff right here is just a prelude, just a warm-up for what's coming later. We'll study it in detail because it's a blessing here to see. A lot of prophecy. "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land." He said all, several times. I want you not to let a word drop from my mouth. You know why Samuel was blessed? Because he didn't let a word drop. He said, whatever the Lord says, I'm going to say. And Eli came up to him, you know, and Eli had raised him. And he said, "Samuel, I know God spoke to you. Don't you hide a thing. I want you to say everything." Samuel said, "Okay, then we're going to tell you then." And he said, "Well, you haven't been restraining your boys and everything else, and you in trouble, brother." And I'll tell you something. You know what? He was blessed. Moses gets blessed. You know what we're supposed to do? You don't have to be. The Bible said, "Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt." All you have to do is just point them to the Bible and let the Bible do all the work. We don't have to say, "Well, this, you know, this is my opinion and all that stuff." Just say, "The Bible says." "Well, what do you think about?" "Well, the Bible says." That way you can place it on the Bible. But if you go to do, "Well, my opinion, I just believe." Okay, well, then you're stepping on the other ground. And that's a slippery slope right there when you start giving your opinion. And all of us, and I'll tell you this too, we better get more biblical and more biblical as we get closer to the end. Why? Because your speech is going to be more scrutinized and more scrutinized. You got to get to where you say, "Look, we're Bible believers. That's what the book says, and your fight is with the book, not with me. I'm just telling you we're Bible believers." Because if you don't, They're getting to the place that you know what they when you read the Gospels, you're reading prophecy. When you're reading Gospels, they was in Daniel's 69th week, looking to go right into the 70th week. They didn't know about a church age. So you know what you're reading over there? And they all got mad at his speech. They were offended in him. And they were offended. You remember reading that over and over? You know what's going on? As we get closer, they're going to get more offended in you. You know what they're going to be? The Bible said they try to catch him in his words. You know what they're going to do? They're going to try to catch you in your words. You got to use biblical terms. I'm trying to train myself to use biblical terms, because if you don't, they're going to say, yeah, but you said so. Yeah, but I just... Okay then, let's get this recorder out here, and they're going to get you. And I'm telling you, but if you use the Bible, God will protect you. Why? His Word is a shield. It's a shield. Alright, now, we're just about done here. Watch this, and we're going to end with this one. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. We're going to close looking over Hebrews chapter 3. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Alright, now, Pharaoh has hardened his heart. Now God's going to harden his heart. You say, well, what's the reason? I want you to see something here. Hebrews 3 gives you a real good definition. Hebrews chapter number 3. Do you know that it's sin not to believe in what God says? That's a sin. If God tells you something in His Word, and somebody else comes to you, maybe you didn't have a Bible, and somebody else didn't have a Bible, Pharaoh didn't have a Bible, Moses had the Word of God, Moses said, this is what God said, and Pharaoh said, who's the Lord? I'm not going to believe Him, and I'm not going to let the people go. You know what happened? He didn't believe what God said. That's sin. Do you know what happens? People can sit on them pews and stuff like that, and somebody, and the preacher can say, or some of your loved ones can say something about what the Bible says, and you've told your grandchildren, you've told your children, and you know what happens? They say, I just don't believe that. Well, guess what happens? They harden their own heart. When you disobey that Word, when it comes in there, your heart gets a little bit harder. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 3, watch this. It says this in verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. How? Through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin would deceive you. Do you see? Now watch this. Jump down to verse 15. While it is said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation. Back in that old dispensation back there, he said, look here. They didn't hear His voice. Pharaoh heard the voice. And Pharaoh, guess what? His heart got hardened. As he got to where he wouldn't hear that voice, his heart got harder and harder. And guess what? God says, okay, well, I'll harden your heart then. Why? Because God's able to send strong delusion. You know what's going to happen? One of these days, the church is going to be gone, and people have graciously told them the gospel. They've heard tracts, and they've seen signs and stuff like that. That's why we want to get the gospel out and get the Word of God out and let it at least try to pierce that heart. Why? Because if it don't, one of these days, the Bible said they're going to be deceived with a strong delusion. And I tell you, I don't want nobody have to go through that. And y'all, we shouldn't either. You know what happens? We harden our hearts. Why? Because we say, well, the Bible says any day, you know, He's coming any day. Okay, well, if we really believe it, why aren't we trying to get the gospel out? If we really believe that people are going to hell, why aren't we praying? And I tell you something, there's a lot of hard hearts out there, but you know what the Word of God says? Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my Word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? If somebody will let that Word of God soften that heart, God can deal with them. And I thank the Lord for the Word of God and that hammer. That's a blessing to have right there. Brother Mike, close us out if you don't mind.